conversations, random, off-the-cuff discussions on all things paranormal.
Hello, you spooktacular people. Welcome to Paranormal Conversations number 15. Kelly, on this one, we found ourselves a Grimm.
We did.
I just love this name because we actually literally just finished watching the series Grimm.
Yeah, definitely a favorite.
So great. Anyway, I'm part of a podcast support group, and I like to go in there and help out people who are new to podcasting. And I see this name pop up who put a post in there, Sean Grimm. And I went, oh, what a great name. So I clicked on it to see what his podcast was about. And I'm like, oh, it's in the paranormal genre. So I asked Sean if he would like to join us. And we called this the Paranormal Trifecta because Sean has had a cryptid experience, a UFO experience, and ghost experiences. He's had it all.
Can't beat that.
Kelly, we are all over the board on this interview. You guys are going to love this conversation. We get into talking about religion with some of this stuff as well. And at the end, we couldn't help ourselves but talk about, you know, those Miami giant Nephilim aliens
yes.
at the Miami Mall or whatever. We're going to talk about those as well. So we hope you guys enjoy this one. On this paranormal conversation, we are joined by podcaster Sean Grimm, who hosts the Big Grimbowski podcast. The podcast features the paranormal and strange, and Sean is a weird kid like us. He has experiences that we would call the trifecta, a cryptid experience, a UFO experience, and a ghostly experience. Thanks for joining us, Sean. Where are you located?
I live in a very, very small town. This is a drive-through town, pretty much 10 seconds and you're through it. It's called La Fountain, Indiana.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of haunted stuff in Indiana, though.
Yes, there is. This area is also really well known for the Battle of 1812.
Oh, how cool is that? I wouldn't have thought that the Battle of 1812 would be anywhere near Indiana.
Yep. A lot of it took place there. So every October, we have a big thing that goes on out there. Vendors come and they do all sorts of stuff, just like they would during that time period. People making pelts, different kinds of food, just wooden things, all sorts of stuff. It's really, really cool. They do reenactments with actors who dress like in the period attire and everything. And they have fake guns and, they battle across the river and stuff. It's pretty cool to see.
Nice.
That does sound cool.
So your podcast features paranormal topics. So we always like to ask our guests, what got you interested in the paranormal to begin with?
The earliest thing that I ever remember having, and I think that it was kind of really, really strange for me at the time, because I really didn't know understanding. I was really, really little, probably 4 or 5. I was on a walk with my mom and my grandmother. And it was getting late, so we needed to cut back over to where my grandma lived. And the quickest way was we had to cut through the local cemetery in Wabash, Indiana, which it's a very large cemetery to walk through to get from one side to the other. But that was going to be the quickest way other than going the almost 2-hour walk that we had already done back around. So we went ahead and we started going through, and they're talking. I'm just kind of like following them behind, and I'm just kind of looking around. And I remember looking at this headstone, and I can see this thing sticking out from behind it. And it's kind of just like waving back and forth. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what I'm seeing here. And then like it would go behind it so that I wouldn't see it. And again, and I turn, I look back, and it would be doing it again. Like something was trying to like signal me, but I'm a little kid. So I'm like, I'm freaked out. I'm like, I'm gonna go stand up by mom and grandma now. And that was probably like the earliest thing that I remember ever happening. And then from there on, I started having other things happen. For example, when I was I think it was like seventh grade when my one grandmother passed away. The night that she had passed away, we had a very strange phenomenon happen with a piece of equipment that we had in my grandmother's house. It was just me and my dad there. I don't think anyone else was there. But at the time of her crossing, there was this, it's like a kind of like a, it's a clock, but it also has a little thing that you stick on your window and it does stuff with the weather. So one of my uncles, he retired from NASA. He was working for NASA during this time period, gifted this them for like Christmas or something. This thing was super fancy. I mean, it was giving you like barometric pressure readings, the whole nine yards, anything that you could want weather-wise, this thing would tell you. They had this for years. I'd never heard this thing make a single sound. And then that moment, that thing went off and started blaring. It just started going off like an alarm clock. And my dad couldn't figure out how to shut it off. Like, he's doing everything. He's pressing all the buttons and stuff. He had to take the batteries out in order to get this thing to stop. And then it wasn't like, I think maybe like 15, 20 minutes later is when he ended up getting a phone call at the house saying, yeah, she had just passed here just a little bit ago at time, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, you guys aren't going to believe what just happened at that time period. My parents have that thing to this day. It's never made a single beep.
I was just going to ask, has it ever made a sound again?
No, it's currently still sitting there. I see it every time I'm over there. And that thing has never made a sound. That's the only time that thing has ever made a sound. I've even, like, when I got older, because I was like, I knew, like, older, when I was older, I was like, I'm going to check this thing out because this thing never made any sounds. Like, why did this thing go off that night? And I messed with it, tried to figure, I can't figure out how to get that thing to make any bit of sound. I don't know how. Do not know how. So that happens. And then I would say probably maybe, about two years later or so, I'm about 16, and I wake up one morning, probably like between 3:30 in the morning, and there is someone standing over the foot of my bed. And at the time, I kind of thought it was my father, but as I went on, that's when I something wasn't missed. And it's like, I don't want to go too far if like you were gonna plan on asking me this anyways. So it's like, I don't want to spoil the story, but more or less, I'm seeing a full body apparition at the foot of my bed. And so, like, you know, that happened. I was born and raised Catholic. We didn't really talk about ghosts a whole lot. And it wasn't until after that grandmother had passed when that kind of shifted. And we kind of started believing that kind of stuff a little bit more. I mean, I always kind of had like this inkling that there's something else there. There's something going on. And then also kind of during that time period, that was when Ghost Hunters started coming out on Sci-Fi Channel. You know, a few years later, Ghost Adventures comes out on the Travel Channel. And it's just like, you know, all these different TV shows that are coming out. So it's like we're kind of watching those now a little bit more. And we're really kind of like, okay, well, yeah, there's something definitely going on. We definitely believe this. There was that one dude, John Edwards, who was like a medium, and he was talking to people. And I remember, you know, my parents trying to call to get on the TV show and stuff. So it was just kind of like everything was kind of starting to be around it. And no joke, like to this day, if I go over to my parents' house and see, like, you know, see what my dad's doing, he's sitting in his chair and he's watching a ghost something or a Bigfoot something or a UFO something. And that's all that he's ever watching.
I love it.
Well, you know, I found that for a lot of us, it was our parents that kind of instilled this stuff in us, because I remember watching The In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy with my mom and The Unsolved Mysteries with my mom. And she was the one who would take me into cemeteries. And so that whole love started right there, and it just kind of blossomed from there. So I totally get that. And I always find it interesting, like you said, you grew up Catholic. I grew up Christian. You had some Christian as you were growing up too. And I always laugh that anytime you want to bring up anything supernatural in a church setting or whatever, people get all freaked out. And it's like, the Bible is the most supernatural book on the planet. And absolutely, things that have happened are crazy in there, but they don't want to talk about it.
Right, exactly. I mean, just go and look at the whole very end of it when it starts talking about the end of days. You can't tell me, you can't read one chapter of that without telling me that that isn't some sort of supernatural phenomenon coming down. I mean, no, stop. Yes, it is.
Exactly. totally get that. And I love the experience that you had with your grandmother. It is amazing how many people have these experiences with a grandparent that has passed away. I remember when I grew up, I was in Colorado, and there was a guy who would host a radio show there. And he would, every Halloween, he'd have people call in with all of their experiences that they had. And this was long before you ever had any of the ghost hunters or any of that on. So I would just wait for Halloween, because that's when you're going to get to hear all these other people that had these experiences, because nobody would really talk about it and stuff. And he would always have this buddy of his that was also on the same radio network. And he was a lawyer. So for him to tell you a story that was ghost, it was like, whoa. And he would have him on every year. And he would tell the same story that his family got together for. It was either Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner, but it was when there was snow out. And they were sitting down to dinner. His grandmother was in the hospital. She had been sick, but they weren't expecting her to die yet, because that's why they were all, you know, having dinner back at the house. And he said they just sat down to dinner and they hear a knock at the door. So one of them gets up and goes to the door. There's nobody there. And of course, they look outside. There's no footprints anywhere in the snow. And then they get a call, boom, right then. And it was the hospital calling to say that the grandmother had just passed away. So it was like she came by, knocked on the door to say goodbye to everybody on her way out. So you had kind of a similar experience there.
Right. Definitely. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's so many people who have so many different experiences where, like, yeah, the moment that person crosses, there's some sort of weird phenomenon that happens. Something goes off. A phone rings, but there's no one on the other line, you know, knock at the door. All of a sudden, you know, garage door opens, somebody's phone starts ringing for no reason. Just, I mean, you name it. It's like, there's always something. And everybody's like, well, that's really strange. But then all of a sudden there's that connection. There's something there. I mean, it's definitely something there. There's something to it.
Yeah, definitely trying to get your attention. So what was your first cryptid, or have you had multiple cryptid experiences?
So I've had two now, completely two different things, both all relatively close to where I'm living. So the very first one, again, 16. I see a full body apparition at 16. I also have a Bigfoot sighting at 16. But I didn't know that that is what I had seen until I hit about 25. So it was almost a 9-year, almost 10-year span before I figured out what it was. And that was due to a local historian. I currently live about 5 minutes from this exact location where I had this site. Again, 1812 Battlegrounds. We also call that out here as Hobbit Land, because there's a little local lore that if you drive to the specific bridge out there and turn your car off, honk three times, the hobbits will come over the side of the bridge, you know, and things like that. I don't know of anyone who's ever actually had anything happen while they've tried that, but it's a very, very strangest location anyway. It's kind of like one of those, it's a gravel road. It's about single lane, pretty much. I mean, it's not much wider than single lane, but the trees, they seem to get closer and closer and closer, like when you're driving down it. It's one of those kinds of roads.
Yeah.
And the kids, everybody, if you're 16, you're able to drive, that's where you're going. You're going out there to get scared. Because with that also being out there, there's two other locations that are all relatively close. It's kind of just like a big country block right there. And it's a old schoolhouse, and behind it is a graveyard. Now, I went to school with kids who had some crazy encounters going on there. I've had some weird stuff happen out there as well. I remember one time I went out there and all the headstones were glowing. I have never seen anything like that ever, but from where you park to where that specific cemetery is behind there, I mean, it's a bit of a walk, but I think I was maybe 30 yards from the car and still probably another 60 yards from the headstones. And I could see from there that they were fluorescently glowing, as if somebody had painted every single one of them with glow in the dark paint. But that would have taken so much time, and for someone to do that and not get caught, I mean, I don't see that being a thing. I really don't. So that's out there. And then there's another graveyard just around the corner from there that is all of the Native American soldiers that passed away during the Battle of 1812. I think it was like a very specific like platoon even. But so yeah, all that's out there. And me and a bunch of friends, we decided that we were going to go out there one night, probably about fall time, because there wasn't any leaves on the trees at all. And you could really see when you're looking at the sides and you're looking through the tree line there. So we had a bunch of flashlights and stuff, and I had like a little pickup truck, and it was just me and another dude sitting in the cab, and I'm doing engine idle. So probably about maybe 3-4 miles an hour at most. And I see something step out from the side of the road about 60 to 80 yards down from me. And it took one step and was in the center of the road. It turned, it looked at me, and then turned back and took another step back off the road, and it was into the woods, and I couldn't see it. So I freaked out, and I'm rolling my window back up real quick.
Locking the doors.
Yeah, exactly. My buddy's like,
that's a big step.
And he's like, dude, what's going on, man? And I was like, dude, you didn't see that? And he's like, no, man, what's going on? And I was like, dude, I don't know what that was, man. But something just walked out of that woods. And I couldn't make it out. And he's like, dude, it's not like somebody out here just like messing with us. And I was like, dude, I don't think so. Because something about that wasn't right, man. Something was not right about that. What I mean was, this was extremely tall. I mean, I'm talking at least eight feet in height. And it was a solid ground. There was nothing on it that made me say, oh, those are boots or shoes. Oh, those are jeans. Those are camouflage pants. Oh, that's a jacket. What? No, I couldn't even, not even facial features were visible. I'm not able to see a mouth, a nose, where eyes are, none of that stuff. But I can see that thing is a dark, deep brown color, and that color is uniform head to toe. The other thing about it that I didn't think that it was Bigfoot at the time was because a lot of these sightings, everybody says that it's very, very wide, you know? This wasn't very wide. It was very slender, very lanky, very, you know, kind of very skinny. And it didn't seem like it was something that was very, very muscular at all. And so, like, I couldn't think of what it would have been. Like I said, it wasn't until almost 10 years later when I'm in a paranormal investigation group and we had this event going on and we had a local historian come and do a little spiel while everybody's having dinner. And he's talking about different folklore and stuff around Wabash County and the surrounding counties and this and that. And he starts talking about, did you know that not only Mississinewa Reservoir, but the Salamone Reservoir too, both have had people report to the authorities of Bigfoot sightings while they were out there. One person reported that their tent got attacked, that you know, large rocks were being chucked at it in the middle of the night. People reporting that they're hearing like, you know, these sounds like off, you know, really, really close to them. That's like freaks them out to where they leave big bangs on trees, you know, it's all the way up to people reporting that something large ran up and grabbed their tent and started shaking their tent to where like they just like, yeah, like they left. So like people are having these sightings. And it wasn't until that point where I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I saw. I had a Bigfoot sighting out there. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't a ghost sighting. Like there's no way, like this thing is way too tall for that. So like, that's the first thing. And then I also had something here pretty recently happen on my way to work. It's also, you know, same area. It's just a road over from where I'm currently at, and it's called 390. And I was driving one morning to work, and I see that there's something off on the side of the road, off the side of the cornfield, a ways down. And it looked like something had ran up out of the field to the side of the road real quick. But like its movement was very strange. It was, you know, the things that you see at like used car lots and stuff, like the person, and it's always the wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube man or whatever it's called. Yeah. And so it just kind of had like that kind of weird sporadic kind of movement, just kind of all over the place, but very, very, very fast and jittery. And I could see it to where like I could picture like legs and arms and stuff, but like all the movements were just like that. And it runs up to the side and then all of a sudden it runs back. And then I was like, what the heck was that? And I'm still driving closer and closer and closer. And then I see it a second time. Second time I see it, it's now closer towards me. And I'm still like, I'm basing like where the distance of everything is of when I'm seeing this. And I'm also seeing that there is a orange SUV coming my way at the same time. So like I'm keeping all this into perspective to where I can really kind of get a good visual, like when I get closer as to what the heck I'm seeing and like where I'm seeing it at the different times. And then it goes back in and then it comes out for a third time after the SUV passes where it was just at. And then when it comes out, it starts running down the side of the road on my side of the road behind the SUV. And I'm seeing it running towards me and like, you know, they're both coming like this. And I'm just kind of like, what is going on right now? And it all of a sudden, like B kind of like cuts this corner and then stops in between a telephone pole and the cornfield. So I'm like, okay, I'm really close. I should see what this is. And like, right as I'm coming up to it, I literally watch this thing phase out into nothingness.
Whoa.
Completely just phases out. And I was just like, what the hell? I immediately text my girlfriend and I'm just like, babe, I don't know what the hell I just saw. This makes no sense to me. I'm so confused right now. I am absolutely so confused. And granted, and mind you, most people are like, were you stoned, man? And I'm like, okay, I get it. I smoke a lot of weed. That's fine. But you know what? I know what I saw. And it wasn't me just being high as balls. Okay. Like this legitimately happened here. I said something that to another person that is that recently started podcasting, and he does a lot of stuff with cryptids. And he was like, hold up. Was it moving like the, like I said, the wacky wavy inflatable arm floating tube? And I was like, yeah, dude, like that's the best way to describe it. He's like, I've seen this too. And I was like, whoa, hold up. And he was like, this is some sort of cryptid thing all on its own. So I'm supposed to go onto his show here sometime and we're actually supposed to talk about this thing and kind of go further into what he might think it is, but it's maybe something to do with some type of entity that is able to not only like move at a very, very rapid speed, but also maybe able to multi-dimensional jump between different types of like realms and density and just all the different crazy weird things and stuff. So I can't wait to get into like that whole topic with him.
Definitely. It sounds like it's working at a higher vibration or something.
Right. Cause like the first two times I saw it, it was almost like a black color. Like it was, I first thought that there were some kids playing around, like waiting for like the school bus in the morning or something. But I was like, well, they're already at school because like I go to work at 9 a.m. I have to be at work at 9 a.m. So like, you know, it's like 8:30. Oh, they're already at school. So like they wouldn't be out there. Wait. So it's like, it can't be that. And then I started looking, like I said, I checked to see like where it was. And like the third time I saw it, it wasn't black anymore. It was gray. So when it was running down the side of the road, it was like a very almost translucent kind of grayish color. And then like the closer I got, like the gray got lighter, 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 just phased out. It wasn't even there anymore at that.
And just with the shivery, shaky description, you know, right, the way it moves and everything.
Do you like horror films?
Yes.
Have you seen Silent Hill?
Yes.
Okay. So you like, you know, the things that walk around, they're just kind of like,
yeah,
you know, they're like spit. It kind of had that type of sporadic movement to it, but much faster, much, much faster. And
well, you know, Sean, the minute you described it at the very beginning there, before you even got to the end where you were talking about multidimensional, I immediately in my head went, I wonder if it was, you know, coming through, because I think a lot of us are to the point where we believe these cryptid, Bigfoot, whatever, these different variety, like here in Florida, we have the skunk ape.
Yeah.
You don't find bodies or anything like that. They seem to appear out of nowhere and then they disappear. So I'm really thinking they are something multidimensional. So when you're describing it that way, I'm totally thinking in my head, well, this is something that is kind of all of a sudden appearing. And so that's why it looks like it's doing this weird shifting thing, because it's coming. It's a dimensional thing. So it's like coming between the planes, and you were seeing that happen. And then at the end, when you're like, it just disappeared, like it went into another dimension. I'm like, holy crap. I mean, that's totally what it sounds like happened there.
Right. Have you ever heard of Steve Pace?
No.
Okay. He's based out of Louisiana. He has Bigfoot and Dogman sightings regularly. And I know some people that know how to get a hold of him. He's been on different podcasts as well talking about it. But he seems to think that he communicates with them, and has, when he goes out, is able to telepathically communicate with them, and has gotten all this different kinds of stuff. And he was saying that they've told him that they're actually around us all the time, but we aren't even aware, because, like, again, multidimensional, they can do different things, but they can also kind of invisibility themselves too, to where they'll come in, and what they do is the adults like to bring in the younger ones and leave them in your homes so they can study you and see how humans are, to be able to learn, to know, to not be around us, and to know that it is much safer for them to stay out in the wilderness, because we're not going to always be nice and friendly. And that's just sadly, you know, in that human blood of ours, like, you know, when we want to have some anger, we're going to have some anger. It's just, it is what it is.
Sure.
So you've also had some UFO experiences?
Yeah. When I was very young as well. So I think like 5, 6 or something, middle of the day, I was in the car with my mom, and I remember I looked up. And I saw something in the sky that caught my eye. It was a very, very clear day. No clouds in the sky, completely blue, sunny. And there was something very bright, silver, spherical, kind of almost very saucer-like. Typical saucer-looking kind of thing was in the sky. And I could see it, that it was rotating. It was spinning, and it wasn't moving. It was staying stationary. I said something to my mom, and I was like, Mom, I think I see a UFO. And she goes, oh, honey, no, you don't. And she just kept driving. And I was like, no, Mom, I see it. I'm looking at it. It's silver, and it's spinning around in a circle. And she's like, you know, it's a kind of chuckle, and just kept going on and stuff. And I watched it until I couldn't see anymore. And that was pretty much it. So, like, I've always been curious ever since. And, like, I mean, I'm always looking in the sky at every single chance I get, always hoping that I'm going to see something else. And, you know, I've been one of those lucky people that saw Starlink go past on several occasions. And, like, when you've never seen that before, like, that's the first thing that you start thinking when you just start seeing these multiple lights moving, like, uniform. But oh man, it's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing that's hard nowadays, because we finally have gotten to a place now where they're talking about it publicly on the news, right, and in the government, and disclosure is happening. Mm-hmm. And we have people who are talking about things that they've worked with. Yes, we have bodies. Yes, we have ships and pieces of ships and everything. And now we live in a time where it's like, you don't really know when you see something that's weird in the sky, because it's like there's drones and different kinds of aircraft out there. And we already know that the government's usually 20 years beyond what they actually tell us they have for technology. So it's
absolutely.
You don't know what is it really something that's a UFO or not. So it's harder now to have those experiences.
Is this another Chinese spy balloon?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, there's just so much stuff in the skies these days that it's like you just don't know. So I have a feeling that eventually we're going to have something that's going to be no doubt this is a UFO and they are here to talk to us.
And see, like I said earlier, I have an uncle that retired from NASA, and like I tried to get him to come on my podcast and he won't do it. Will not. Refuses. He knows things. He straight up said, I have sensitive information. Like, I can't do it, man. And I'm just like, ugh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, there's things that you know things. And like, I want to know what you know. So like, just tell me what you know, man. Come on. Hate it. Absolutely hate it.
And now a little break for a word about one of our sponsors. Well, you've talked about a lot of the ghost experiences that you've had. Is there like more details that you wanted to share or something that you hadn't already told us?
So I'm going to go back to the full body apparition because I didn't really want to jump into it too early on. Like I said, I woke up in the middle of the night. I had seen that there was somebody standing at the foot of my bed. I originally thought that it was my father. My room was upstairs in the attic at this point in time. I just wanted a bigger room away from, you know, my parents. I just, you know, wanted my own space pretty much. So I wanted to have my room up there. I had it set up. I had been up there for a while and there was a stereo system in there as well at the foot of my bed. And so, like I said, I thought it was him because he was standing there looking down at it. And I thought maybe he thought that it got left on or something because he was always like, make sure you turn the radio off. Make sure you turn the radio off. Okay, I get it. It was old. It used to be his. So he got it from a buddy who got sent over to Vietnam. And he got this thing at a market while he was over there for super cheap and had it sent back for next to nothing. So like this was like a $3,000 stereo system in the U.S. during this time, as much as it would have been to get a car. He picked it up for like $800. So wow. Like, yeah, it was a super Wait. Big deal. Yeah. So he didn't use it anymore. So I used it at this point. And I was a smart kid and I figured out how to wire it up to where I could hook my Walkman CD player up to it and I could put my CDs in. I thought that it was him. And I thought this because there was a beard, but my dad keeps his beard short like I do. And so like that didn't dawn on me at first. It didn't dawn on me that this man was much taller than my dad, but he also had a white t-shirt on and my dad always had a white t-shirt on. I'm like, what are you doing? The man turns and he starts to reach a hand down towards me. And at this point, I'm annoyed. So I throw my arm up and I was like, would you knock it the hell off? And I don't hit anything. So that's when I freak out. And I hop up really quick and I look and now there's nobody in the room. And so I'm scared to death at this point. And I grab the sheet and I put it up over my head and I go back to sleep.
Because that's your protection.
Exactly. That sheet is going to protect you 10 times out of 10. Guaranteed. The next morning I go downstairs and I proceed to tell them. I was like, hey, this is what happened. And my mom has already grabbed the phone off the wall. She's ready to call the police station and have a police officer come over and do an investigation and all this stuff. And my dad goes, whoa, hold on a second. You mean to tell me that somebody snuck into this house, went through the kitchen, went through the living room, then went up the very squeaky staircase up to the attic for a stereo that they didn't know was there, and then somehow ran down? Oh, all mind you, didn't alert the dog. And she's like, okay. Yeah, I guess that doesn't make any sense. And he's like, so he looks back at me and he's like, okay, what did you see? What did he look like? So I start giving him a description and everything. I was like telling him like what he looked like. And then he puts his hand over his mouth and like he's just looking at me. He's just shaking his head. And he's like, you never saw pictures of JR, have you? And I was like, the roommate that you had that died years ago? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, no, I never saw pictures of him. And this, so he had this roommate named JR, and he rode motorcycles, and he had what was called a suicide clutch. So the clutch for the bike wasn't at his feet. It was actually a hand clutch that you have to reach down and grab. I end up having to look that up just to find out what one was. So he was coming around a curve and he went to, I think maybe like downshift or something, but there was a very big pothole and front wheel went into the pothole, which he went over the handlebars at that point, snapped his neck on impact. This was before I was born.
Okay.
I had never seen, I've never seen a picture. When I described him, he was like, you just described him to a T. For not ever seeing somebody, you just described this person to a T. And I was just like,
wow.
oh, okay. And the crazier things was, one, he absolutely loved that stereo and always told my dad he wanted that stereo and like would always keep it, you know, very, very clean and make sure that it was well taken care of, this and that. And then it sat up in the attic for, I mean, who knows how long until I started using it. It'd probably been sitting around for years at that point in time. I mean, they had so many vinyl records that I know for the 15 some years that I was, you know, alive that they never touched that at all. So he really liked that. And then he also said, you know, Rick, if you ever have a son, I'll always be there for him. So it's like, whoa.
Wow.
Oh, so like, wow.
Both things are in that room and he's there. Yeah. So, you know, I always wonder, you know, how much is he around? You know, is he still around now? Is he around currently? Is he standing right next to me as I speak? Uh-huh. I wish I knew. And, you know, I would love to, you know, for him to wake up at the foot of my bed again, and, you know, in all honesty, just to have that confirmation, like, you know, because just that it would be full circle at that point in time.
Sure.
So, you know, I had that happen. And then when I was in my 20s, I joined a paranormal investigation group out of Wabash, Indiana. And I did that for several years. I had some really strange encounters doing that. I've had some crazy EVPs that I can't explain. I'm talking, I've had EVPs that have called out fellow ghost hunters by name. Wow. And when you're listening to a voice recorder and all of a sudden you hear someone say somebody's name and that's not anybody that's talking, like this was in like at this location specifically, this was in the first 5 minutes of us setting up. So we weren't even on the investigation. We were setting up, but we would turn our recorders on and just get them rolling because a lot of time you're getting interaction when you're not even trying to get interaction. And within the first couple of minutes, you know, I was getting helps and this and that. And then two times in a row, I said, I want and this person's name, two separate times. Meanwhile, me and everybody else are just sitting here shooting the shit, talking about this and that. And like, we have no idea that this is even going on. No.
Is it a location that you had investigated previously? So did the spirits perhaps have a familiarity with the person that they were speaking about? Or
they did go out there before once to investigate the inside of the home. I got to go there when they went the second time. So when we were doing the outside area, and this was like a horse ranch kind of deal. So like there was a lot of land. And you know, another weird thing, as soon as we got there, she was like, oh, you guys got here just in time. And they're like, what? And she's like, oh, for the war drums. Like, what? She's like, everybody get out. Just come over here and stand. Just be quiet. So we all stopped and we're just kind of listening. And there's a tree line just on the edge of one of these open areas that she has. And she was talking about how there's mounds that they have found in there. And I think that they're probably burial mounds, in all honesty. But a lot of times at night, when you go out there, you can hear just rhythmic drumming. And I kid Very you cool. not. I mean, and it's like that bass tone to where like you can feel it. You can feel it in your chest just kind of hitting you. Even though, like, I mean, that was almost like 100 yards away. That's just like how like deep sounding like that thud was every single time. Weirdest thing. Absolutely weirdest thing.
How cool.
Yeah. The thing that's cool about that too is one of the questions we always ask ourselves is when people tell us that a spirit has actually done something, like it's touched something, it's moved something, you haven't seen them manifest in any way. So I'm like, how do they do that? Like, how do they turn the lights on and off if they're doing it with their hands? Or manipulating stuff. And then you talk about drums. And like when you feel that beat, we all know what you're talking about. When you go to a concert or whatever, and it feels like your heartbeat is going with the drums. And so you're like, this is something that isn't, it's not real. It's not actually there. where you could like see this figure is beating a drum right here physically. And yet my body is feeling something physical. It just blows my mind. That's why I love the paranormal.
And the thing is, we can sit there and say all we want about electricity and all that stuff, but we honestly do not know why electricity is what it is. As humans, we don't know. We don't understand that phenomenon. We know how to harness it. We know what it's capable of doing, but we don't know exactly what makes all that up. That raw power is just around us all the time. And then, like, you know, we have these electromagnetic fields that are just around us all the time, and they're able to cause all sorts of things to happen. It's just, I wish I could, you know, just be the person that just figures it out stuff, you know, because it's like it eats you up so much. It's like, what is it? Why does this happen? Why do these things work the way that they do? But I guess maybe that's life. Maybe we're not meant to figure that out just yet, you know?
Or if you have the one person who, Nikola Tesla, apparently had figured out how to pull that free energy out of the air and harness it. And it's like, where did that information go? He dies dirt poor and everybody just pushes him aside because, you know, they can't make money off of free energy. And it's like, can't somebody else figure that out too? Is he the only one?
Right. But also at the same time, so I'm a animal and pet certified Reiki energy healer. And so basically one of the things I'm able to do is, you know, heal your animals and your pets with, you know, the energy that is all around us. But it's not the same kind of electrical energy that, you know, Tesla was harnessing and stuff. This is a kind of like, you know, a little bit different energy. And again, like it's all around you, and it's always kind of seemed weird. And, you know, when you never experienced those things, it's still just kind of like, okay, this is some woo woo stuff. Like, this person is just, you know, they've done too many mushrooms in their day or whatever. And it's just like, okay, that's not even it. Like, there's literally hand exercises and stuff that you can do to literally feel these things happen. And it's not explainable at all. But, like, you know, it's kind of like one of those things. If you trust the process, then, you know, it's gonna work for you. But, you know, and I guess like that really ties into the faith in general. If you have that faith that it's going to work, then it's gonna work.
Yeah. So what is your favorite paranormal topic?
Honestly, I really, really like the whole the stuff with possessions. I actually have a book right here that's about like those things. The Devil in the City of Angels, My Encounters with the Diabolical by Jesse Romero. So like a lot of the stuff in this is just about his experience as a police officer and having different things that he was just like, okay, this isn't like somebody is just crazy. Like, there's something else, you know, going on here. And, you know, shout out to NY Patriot. Me and him were sitting here talking about having a podcast episode about possessions in the Catholic Church and just really diving into those, because that's one of those things that if the Catholic Church doesn't say that, yes, this person's possessed, they won't allow you to do an exorcism on that person. It is not considered an actual exorcism. And to me, that just, I've always thought that that's just kind of crazy, because if we're going to believe that people can be possessed by, you know, these different types of negative spirits, demons, entities, whatever, then it shouldn't be that only one specific religion can nullify that entity or that being. Like, that there's no reason why that should be the case. And I've always thought that that's strange, that there's not, you know, exorcists who have zero affiliations with the Catholic Church. So I'm just so interested about that stuff, and just like all the different cases. So like, you know, back to ghost hunter Zach Bagans. I live in Indiana. One of the biggest things that's ever come out of Indiana was the demon house that he bought. And if you guys haven't seen that documentary, watch that documentary. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. And then like the stuff, like the people like at the hospital were reporting, the DCS agents that were reporting stuff, the police officers that were reporting stuff. Like, they were seeing, like, this little kid walk up backwards up like a wall and stuff, and, you know, in the middle of, like, the hospital room. Like, there was people, like, legitimately quit their jobs and never went back to work again and had to claim all sorts of PTSD issues because of the events that transpired from what happened in this house. I mean, it's truly crazy to think that we live in a world where something like that is possible. People can sit there and be like, well, you're into dark stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, I would like to know my enemy and know what they're going to do, because I can't protect myself if I don't know what the enemy is going to have in store for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's have those eyes in the back of your head so you don't get stabbed. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you have these different schools of thought where you have some Christians who say everything that is a ghost is a demon.
Right.
It's just masquerading as something else. And then you have a lot of ghost hunters and people who aren't necessarily Christian or have any kind of religious belief. And they don't think there's no such thing as demons. You know, it's just somebody was a mean person in life, so they're mean afterlife or whatever. And I'm like, no, I think there's all these different classes of entities that we have out there. And one of those classes is something demonic. And I have no doubt about it. And I think sometimes some of these alien experiences that people have are of the demonic, because you'll hear people say they're about to have, you know, the anal probe thing happening and they use the name of Jesus or whatever, and it stops and like this alien goes away or whatever. And it's like, how is that something that you would use in a demonic situation helping with an alien situation? So I sometimes think that all of these things are kind of interconnected that way.
Yeah.
And I believe I've heard him interviewed on a show a few years ago. And I loved it because it's like you have this guy who is a cop, and it's New York City, wasn't it?
I think it was LA.
Or is it,
yeah,
or is it LA?
I'm pretty sure it's LA.
It was like some big city that, you know, you're thinking this is a hardened cop and he's right. Not going to walk into these places and make up
stories.
Yeah,
it's LA.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not going to make up these stories and tell them to people, because they're going to be like, your reputation is just gone if you come out and start talking about this stuff. So he really had to have had these experiences, and the fact that he would run into them more than once. It's like this happens a lot more than we think it does. And we may be saying something is mental illness or whatever, and maybe it's not. You know, maybe in the past when they would say that it was a demonic possession and it was actually mental illness. But nowadays I'm thinking there's times where I think, no, your pill isn't going to fix what's wrong here.
See, and I worked several years in the field where I dealt a lot with people that had mental illnesses. You know, a lot of mental problems, people that have been in, you know, state hospitals and stuff like that. I've seen high behavioral clients. Lots of them. There is a huge difference between that and somebody that's having some sort of paranormal experience going on. You know, I've seen people who talk to themselves and, you know, what they're saying just doesn't make any sense. But like, it's when you listen to the conversations, you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, that person clearly has something wrong with them because of how they're communicating, how those conversations are going. And it's not like, oh man, I think they might be possessed by something. Like, it's like there's a huge, huge difference. And I just like, I don't, you know, it's so hard to say, you know.
If someone was to ask you, what is a ghost? What is your answer to someone like that? If they're like, hey, Sean, you know, people talk about these entities and stuff. I mean, what do you think that is?
I mean, energy, first of all. That's like the biggest thing that I can say. Everything is energy. Energy can't be created nor destroyed. It can only be transferred between one thing or another. We die, obviously, that energy has to go somewhere. And I guess all depending on whatever your belief system is, kind of really is going to dictate where exactly you believe that you're going to be going. I think that a lot of times, like, that energy does stay here. I don't know if I can say trapped, because I don't know for sure. I will probably always be on that fence of whether these things are trapped here or whether it's free will or whatever it is, because through my experiences, I have seen intelligent, you know, hauntings that these, they're, it's not like they're here because they have no other choice, like they want to be here. But at the same time, you have experiences where it's something very, very traumatic, to where it's almost as if they are stuck here and their energy is literally on repeat doing the same thing all the time. You know, I've been in, you know, lots of places that have had, you know, activity, and I've been in an apartment where the upstairs apartment had nobody living in there, and the previous tenant had hung himself up there, and at night you could hear the sound of what sounded like furniture being dragged across the floor. And there was not a single bit of furniture in this apartment whatsoever. Like, it was just completely bare, just carpet. So it's like you have those things to where they're just, it's like a record player over and over and over and over again. Now, could you say that that's because of, you know, geological features? Like, you know, one of the things here where I live that's huge is limestone. It, you know, on all those shows, it's pretty much anywhere that has huge amounts of limestone. What goes with limestone? Quartz. Quartz is a huge, huge holder of energy, and just it stores energy. So it's almost like it captures that traumatic thing and then keeps it in that area too. So it's like there's so many things that I can't put, you know, my finger on what it is one way or the other, but I know that it is all energy, and sometimes it has intelligence. Why it has intelligence, I don't know. Maybe it's because that when we become energy, we regain all that intelligence that we had. You know, if you believe in the fact of a possibility of having like past lives, you know, that whole thing right there, it's just like maybe all those past lives, all those different experiences, now all that information just comes back again. So each time you get more and you get more, and then like you're at that energy level, and like you're just kind of like, all that energy, all the years, all the thousands and millions of years of all that knowledge just comes back to you. And then we do it all over again for whatever reason. I mean, who knows?
I was perusing your back catalog of episodes, and I saw that you did a conspiracy roundtable with something that's close to our heart here in Florida, you know, because all the strange stuff happens here. I mean, I don't think anybody hasn't heard about our, you know, 10-foot Miami aliens and stuff. What do you make of that story?
I think it's kind of weird that they went with that whole, oh, well, it was just kids. They were causing a bunch. You need that many police officers for kids? And then, like, it's hard for me to trust footage, especially with AI now. I mean, everything is very, very, you know, convincing, and it's very, very hard to, you know, discern what is what. But like, I went to college to be a graphic designer, so I kind of have somewhat of a good eye for being 35 now and needing glasses that I can still a lot of times be like, oh yeah, that's definitely AI, that's definitely fake, there's no way that one's real. I can just tell the difference, you know. I photoshopped enough things that I can tell when something isn't natural looking. So like, I don't know. I'm not too sure. I think that it's definitely strange. It definitely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And like some of the little clips of like, yeah, like some it showing like some tall thing, but then like, again, nothing else was ever really mentioned about it again. It was just like, it happened. We acknowledged that it happened. Are we going to get answers to what happened? Not really. And it's like, okay, guys, go about your
nothing week. To see here.
Yeah, exactly.
Some kids nothing with fireworks.
Yeah, you kidding? They're not allowed to have them. It's not 4th of July yet.
Yeah, I think the thing that's hard for us is we believe in this stuff. So it's like, I could believe that there were 10-foot aliens that showed up somewhere. But the thing that makes us go, because we say nowadays, how could anything happen without somebody capturing? Because they videotape everything. I mean,
exactly.
They're beating people up and they're like video. It's like you're videotaping things that you shouldn't even be worried about. Like, get that person medical care. Don't videotape what's happening. So usually people, the first thing they do is pull out the video camera and are taking a video and then go,
phone.
Maybe I should call, you know, emergency personnel or something. So it's like we have nothing that comes out of there other than, you know, an overhead far away in some hotel or apartment somewhere. That's the best that you get. But on the flip side, even if this was, let's say, young people who were shooting off fireworks and everybody thinks there's a mass shooting going on because we've had plenty of that stuff that you could see how they would do that. You still usually don't have a police response for the city of Miami. I could understand if it's a smaller town and you've got the 10 cops in town all come to the same place. But when it's Miami and you have all the cops in Miami show up, that seems a bit over the top for something like that, even if it is some kind of a mass shooting.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, look at any of like the mass shooter footages and stuff. Look at how many cops show up for that.
Does not compare.
No, not at all. Like, it was like every single person, if you're on duty or not, you're showing up. And, you know, a part of me is like, man, okay. How much of that is legitimate, or is this another one of those, you know, Project Bluebeam kind of deals? Is this you know, a hologram to get people to freak out like that? But again, why was nobody recording? Why is there no footage? I mean, we had that one family that had, like, you know, that thing in their backyard, you know, a while back.
Yes, it's in, like, Vegas, right?
Yeah. And that's, again, I haven't heard nothing about that in some time.
Well, even the officers were commenting on it, that they had seen.
Yeah, exactly.
The light and everything. Well, the one on his body cam.
Yeah,
the body cam. Light shooting off. And you're like, that doesn't look like anything that's, you know, one of our planes or anything that we would ever see in the sky.
No. So it's just like, you know, I feel like in this day and age, like, somebody would be like, you know, okay, like, what? Somebody seeing aliens? Like, you mean to tell me a mall full of people and there wasn't one conspiracy head in there that was like, oh, I'm catching this, man.
I got this.
Running to the thing to try to catch this.
Right.
Like, no, I don't know. There's too many things about it. It's fishy. The math is not mathing.
Yeah. Fishy for sure.
I agree. Well, Sean, we have had a fabulous time talking to you. Why don't you share with our listeners where they can find out more about you and how to listen to your podcast?
The Big Grimbowski Podcast. You can find me on all the podcasting places besides Apple. That's the only place that I'm not on currently. But I'm on all the Spotify and all the other things. There's an Instagram, Facebook page, all the little fun things to be able to find where. All stuff is TikTok. There's a link tree. So all that stuff is connected. You'll be able to find all that good stuff right there. And feel free, anyone, to, you know, reach out, talk to me. I'm always down to, you know, conversate about different topics, you know, ghost things, UFO things, Bigfoot things, conspiracies, all the stuff. I mean, there's not anything. I mean, I'm even like talking to a dude right now who's like, has nothing to do with any of this. And all he is a professional BMX rider. And I'm just like, I'm, you know, 35 and I'm still riding BMX like a little child. Like, you know, that,
there you go.
That will just make me happy to have him on. Like, I don't care about anybody else. So
nice.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Sean.
Kelly, that was a lot of fun talking to Sean.
It sure was.
He had some great stories, has a great show. Check out his show, The Big Grimbowski. And I love how he played off of
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's so cool. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this paranormal conversation. I've been your host, Diane.
And this has been Kelly.
You take care now.
Bye-bye.